morning, Radio Land. We're coming to you live from the Pickup Country WSKV Irvin studio. This is Come On Home, bringing you the people, news, and views that make Irvin, Ravenna, and Estill County Kentucky's hometown. I'm your host, Goosehead Joe. How is everybody doing out there today? I hope you are getting the opportunity to enjoy just a little bit of this, what they call Indian summer. Of course, I guess the strict definition of that is after you have the first killing frost, if it warms up again, then that's your Indian summer. So I don't know if that's politically correct anymore, but that's what I've heard my whole life. So regardless, it's pretty outside. That's the main thing that you need to know, and I hope you're getting an opportunity to enjoy it. That being said, you can see fall all around us. The trees are really starting to gain a little bit of that color. I don't think we're going to have quite as explosive of fall color as we'd like to have. Of course, you get all those different conditions and everything that happen, but still, it's beautiful out there. Enjoy it while it lasts. Before you know, it's going to be just freezing cold outside, and there will be no leaves on the trees anywhere. So hope you get that chance to get out and drive around and enjoy the beauty that we are blessed with here in Eastern Kentucky. But yeah, I mean, it is fall, and we are staring down at Halloween and trick-or-treat. Of course, the trick-or-treats fall at different times in the different communities, but seems like everybody is gearing up and getting ready to have a good time. I know here in Irvin, it's pretty exciting. We have the first ever thriller zombie walk that's going to be taking place on next Thursday evening, right along with our trick-or-treat, and it's should be something to see. It's pretty exciting. Of course, they're doing it as a fundraiser for Save the Mac with River City Players, and which that's a very worthy cause, and we want to keep seeing that thermometer go up. It's one of those things, when you're talking a big number, you can it takes quite a bit of contributions in order to move that up another notch, so don't think that anything stalled out. It's just the money is coming in, and there are different events and different fundraisers, and everything's coming right along. So but that being said, this should be a really cool event. Now, before we even get to that, something that's really exciting, something we tried to do last year, and it actually sleeted and snowed, and we couldn't do the event. But this year it's going to happen. It looks like weather is going to be fantastic. Definitely. It's this Friday and Saturday night. It's October 23rd and 24th, and this is called Forest of the Undead. And there is actually a spot running on 104.9 this week, and if I can get it queued up here, I'm going to go ahead and play it for you, because it is pretty fantastic, if I do say so myself.
Come put your courage to the test this Friday and Saturday in our forest plagued with the walking dead. Lily Mountain has been overrun with zombies. Can you survive? There is only one way to find out. Visit our Facebook page by searching Forest of the Undead for more details. This Friday and Saturday, 6 to 11, follow the signs on Highway 52 in Estill County.
What do you think about that? Pretty awesome, huh? If you hadn't heard it yet, that is that's actually me, in case you hadn't figured that out, doing my best Crypt Keeper impression. The zombie sounds provided by Justin Rogers, the president of Friends of Lily Mountain, and WSKV's own Lindsay Rogers, and a couple of, I think it was Justin's niece that provided the scream there at the end. And of course, everything mixed beautifully by Ethan Moore. And I tell you what, that was fun to do, and this is going to be a really, really cool event. Of course, as you heard in the ad there, it's at the Lily Mountain Nature Preserve, which is actually located at 1675 Little Rock Road in Estill County. That is almost as close to the Madison County line as you can get. The easiest way, and I'll go ahead and explain this out to you, for folks who know the area, pretty much if you were coming from Irvin, going toward Richmond on 52, turn left onto Regis Road, follow Regis Road all the way to the end, you'll turn right onto Doug Hollow Road. And pretty much right before you get to Madison County, Little Rock Road is going to be a turn on your left. And there are going to be signs. Justin's done a great job with some zombie-related signs to get everybody out there. The actual event, I guess you'd say, is going to be kind of back into the property a little bit. So there will be a tractor with a wagon that takes everyone from the parking area back to the zombie infected area. And it's going to be fun. There, I would go ahead and tell you, if you've got little kids, that I know my 4-year-old and, well, my 8-year-old for that matter, if I got them out there, they would climb up one side of me and down the other. You are going to be in the woods. There are going to be people coming after you. Well, they're going to be zombies coming after you, excuse me. They're not going to be grabbing you and wrestling you to the ground or anything, but they're going to be out there. It will be scary. It'll be intense. And so if you do have those little kids and you're kind of questionable about it, I would recommend that you don't bring them, because once you're out there in the woods, it's going to be you can get them out of there, but it's going to be kind of tough because you're still going to have to bring them back through the woods in the dark. So there is what I think Justin's calling a weenie walk. So it does start at 6 o'clock. It's not dark at 6 o'clock, so you have a little bit better idea of what would be coming after you, and a little bit more fair warning, I guess you would say. But still, it's going to be a fantastic event. Again, you can get more details if you need to check it out. At just go to Facebook, type in Forest of the Undead, and it'll bring it right up. And teenagers, all you folks that like a good little scare, make sure and check it out. It's only $5 to go through this. This is all done by volunteers, and it's just trying to raise a little bit of money for Friends of Lily Mountain to develop the site and get more, just try to make it an even better place. It's really just getting started as far as a park, a nature preserve, so quite a bit needs to be done to make it as receptive for visitors as possible. But the park has already expanded quite a bit from the original parcel. So it's going to be a fun time. So again, just go to Facebook, check out Forest of the Undead. It's coming up this Friday and Saturday from 6 to 11. I know there are 10,000 things going on around the area right now. Of course, we've got Woolly Worm Festival coming up, and but this is one of those things you could do in the evening and enjoy that right along with all the other activities that you have planned. So I would encourage you to try to check that out and come out and support Lily Mountain. Again, it will be well marked. If you're on Highway 52 going toward Ravenna, if you're going Highway 52 going toward Richmond, then you will see the signs no problem. So let me see here. I had something brought up and it's not there anymore. So let me try this again. I was going to go straight to a themed song to try to move us right along, and it's not doing too great for me. Don't you love when you get that good technical difficulty? All right, here we go. We're going to go to a tune here, and don't forget, Forest of the Undead this Friday and Saturday, only $5 out at the Lily Mountain Nature Preserve on Little Rock Road in Estill County.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. It caught on in a flash. He did the monster mash from my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abodes to get a jolt from my electrodes. They did the Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the Monster Mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. Now the scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five. They played the Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the Monster Mash. Out of his coffin, Drac's voice did ring. Seems he was troubled by just one thing. He opened the lid and shook his fist and said,
"Whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?"
It's now the mash.
It's now the Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the Monster Mash. Now everything's cool, Drac's part of the band. And my Monster Mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, the mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them Boris sent you.
Then you can mash.
Then you can Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can Monster Mash.
Then you can mash. The Monster Mash.
Have you watered the brains today, Eagle?
Then you can mash.
Oh, ho, 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 ho.
Then you can mash. Then you can mash.
It's okay, you can let her go now. She's been in there for 17 years.
Then you can mash.
Ho, 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 ho.
Welcome back to Come On Home with Goosehead Joe. All right. Well, this is an interesting situation this week. I actually have two different interviews, and neither one of them could be with me right now. So we've worked it all out, and I was able to sit down with all of these folks and talk about everything that we needed to talk about to bring it to you. So beginning, I had the opportunity to sit down with the lovely Stacy Crace. So please enjoy. I'm joined now in the studio by the lovely Stacy Crace with Kentucky River Foothills. Welcome, ma'am.
Thank you.
It's you got a lot on your plate, and I know Foothills definitely has a lot on its plate. So we'll try to keep it corralled here and stay on point. But I want to ask you first just about Foothills, just in general as an organization. So I know most folks have heard of Foothills and have probably interacted with the organization in one way or another, but if you don't mind, just kind of let everybody know sort of the umbrella and everything that's involved.
Okay. Foothills is what they call a community action agency.
Mm-hmm.
So our goal there is to just provide for those that may be disadvantaged in different areas. So you may see Foothills on vans that run around and pick up people with our transportation program.
Mm-hmm.
They also run several Head Starts in the area, adult daycares. There's a veterans program. And then we have our clinic, mm-hmm, also as one of the several programs. Also senior citizens centers in the four county area, and actually Kentucky River Foothills, I should mention, covers Clark, Estill, Powell, and Madison.
Okay. Which I'm sure has its own set of advantages and disadvantages.
Yes.
Because we're you know, you take Powell and Estill, and then you take Madison and Clark. It's kind of almost two different worlds.
It is. It's it's a good mix of people, though, when you, mm-hmm, get all the programs together and everybody helps each other.
That's cool. That's very cool. Now, as far as we'll talk more specific. Now, what is your role, actually?
Okay, my role at Foothills is project director, okay, of the Healthcare for the Homeless program, which,
okay,
is housed at the Foothills Health and Wellness Center in Clay City.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead, which I guess you refer to it as the clinic, right?
Yes.
Okay. So tell us more about the clinic.
Okay. The clinic, we are not like every other medical clinic that you may run into because we receive federal funding. We are funded by HRSA, which is Health Resources and Services Administration, mm-hmm. out of Washington, D.C. So it allows us with this funding to do things that other clinics don't do. So we do provide primary health care services, but we also, I guess you would say, go a little bit above and beyond because people get rides to specialty appointments. If they need a ride just to the clinic, mm-hmm. we can go get them. We have other, we call them enabling services. So whether it's linking them with another agency, you know, we'll make sure that they get the referrals and the other care that they need. We do food vouchers. We mm-hmm. do medication vouchers because sometimes, you know, what good does it do you if your healthcare provider wants you to take 7 medications that you can't afford?
Right.
So we have some that we will actually do a voucher and pick up the medicine for them at the pharmacy. Just a lot of care that is really for the whole person.
Mm-hmm.
Just goes above and beyond.
So holistic.
Yes, holistic. That's the word I need.
Well, being that you're direct responsibility with the Healthcare for the mm-hmm. Homeless program, can you talk a little bit about that? And I mean, even define, most people you think of someone being homeless, it's that person that's, you know, in a big city, they're sitting there with the little cardboard sign, they really have no place to go. So how is that definition kind of different in our area?
Yes, that's our target is homeless individuals, and our target is to see 2,150, which we do meet every year. So you would think, how do you find 2,150 people that live
really?
On the streets?
Really?
But the definition is very broad, the federal definition of homeless. A big one that we get that meets the qualification would be doubled up. So that's, you know, living with family or friends.
Mm-hmm.
We have another big one is if you spend more than 50% of your income on rent and utilities, then you're at risk for homelessness. So that would qualify. And that gets a large number of people.
I might fit into
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people do. Definitely. Another big one around this area is heating with wood or kerosene.
Mm-hmm.
And they consider that an unsafe heat source technically. So that would fall under the qualifications for our program. And the nice thing about it, we don't have a lot of problems qualifying people, but if we find someone that just doesn't meet those, we are allowed to see up to 25% of our total that don't meet the qualifications. So if we come down to it and you don't meet one of those, or your situation changes mm-hmm. and you've been coming there and all of a sudden you do have a fixed residence that you can afford all your utilities, then you can fall into that 25%. So
well,
that makes it really
that's
nice.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And is that funded federally?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's really strange because most federal programs don't have something that makes sense like that.
Yeah. But it does.
That is wonderful. Now, as far as the benefits that folks that do qualify for the program, how is that different than just your average run of the mill?
Well, like I mentioned with our primary care services, mm-hmm. and you also have those supportive services, we call them. So you actually have people that manage your case. We have care coordinators mm-hmm. that can just kind of look at the whole picture and see, what does this person need, and is there something we could do to help them with their housing or with their financial needs? Mm-hmm. It just goes a little bit out of the realm of what you would normally see in a clinic. We also have a contract with Frenchburg for dental services, so we can get people, even though we can't provide the service, we will get you hooked up for dental services and a voucher if you need it to go there. So.
Right. Well, that's cool. And do you feel like being that that Foothills is a broader organization, that it gives you access to some services or resources that other folks might not be able to?
Yes, I definitely do, because we can link them up with, for example, the housing program mm-hmm. through Foothills. I can think of, you know, patients off the top of my head that started out at our clinic as a homeless patient that we have then turned over to the housing department mm-hmm. to help them with actually building a house or getting an apartment, a lot of things like that that we might not have access to if we weren't linked to the same agency.
Right, right. And going back again to the four different counties that are in the service area, the services offered in each community are very, very different. Mm-hmm. So I wonder how does that work with, say there is someone in Madison County that is wanting to access services in Powell County?
Well, I know for our program, we are targeting Powell and Estill mm-hmm. specifically. But if you come to the clinic, it doesn't matter what county you live in.
Gotcha.
It just means that we can't go to the other counties and actually perform healthcare services.
I gotcha.
So, but if you come to us, we could definitely, when we do, we have people from all over. And even outside the four counties, we have some from Wolf County and Lee County, too.
Mm-hmm. I get, which, you know, and I have I actually served on the board with White House Clinics.
Okay.
And I know HRSA is a strange beast.
Mm-hmm.
that's a nice way to say it, I think. And I mean, the territory type thing is, it's real strange.
Yeah, it they want it pretty separated.
Yeah.
So if you want to come into an area, then you have to get with other health centers in the area and get their permission, get mm-hmm. you know, their blessing, and kind of work together. So
yeah, it's kind of feudal.
Yeah.
Have to ask the lord of the manor, right, if you can take up residence.
Yes.
But it's cool. It seems like everybody it's not feudal in the Hatfield McCoy sense.
No.
But the medieval sense. It seems like especially with health centers and healthcare in general, it seems like everybody really works together mm-hmm. pretty well.
Yeah, and we have other healthcare providers in the area that they know the other services that we provide. So mm-hmm. they say, hey, you know, I know you come here, but you may want to go down to Foothills and see their nurse practitioner because they can help you get this medicine that I can't help you get.
Right,
you know, those
right.
sort of things. So it's all about the patient.
Sure. And that's good. And it's mm-hmm. Anybody that, you know, you go to see your healthcare provider and they're actually telling you, well, hey, this other place can actually do something that I can't. That's how you know that they really do care.
Yes. And we also have mental health services that mm-hmm. a lot of other medical clinics don't have. So we have a counselor right there in-house, and that's a big benefit.
That's wonderful.
Because we have so many. It's a great percentage of our patients that really have some kind of mental health issue, whether it be depression, anxiety. And we have Rob Sloan. He's a licensed professional clinical counselor. And a lot of times, whenever the need, when it arises, we just get them right on in with Rob that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can have that relationship and keep coming back to see him. And then other providers in the area that don't have that, they can link their patients up with us too.
That's wonderful.
Also have a dietitian in-house that those are hard to find.
Yeah.
So we do, we have a weight loss program
mm-hmm.
that we've done. It's kind of unique that the patients will see the nurse practitioner to manage the weight, and then they'll also see Rob, and he can manage like the mindful eating and the whole mental piece of that.
Right.
And then you see the dietitian that can give you more individualized counseling. So we have several patients that come and make their rounds. They see all three in one day.
And that's good.
Yeah.
Especially good. If somebody has transportation issues mm-hmm. or what have you. They mm-hmm. can go ahead and knock it out.
Yes.
And it is, you mentioned the mental health, and we've actually talked about it on the show before. There are so many more mental and behavioral health issues than most folks would even realize.
Definitely. And especially with the homeless grants, they've found mm-hmm. that the percentage is much higher with the patients that actually qualify for our program. It's something like 60 or 65%
wow.
also have the need for mental health. So
right.
That actually helped us get some expanded funding we just received in September. And we're going to focus that money on more mental health. So we want another Rob, and we
right.
want a psychiatric nurse practitioner we're advertising for right now. So to kind of expand on that end of things.
A psychiatric nurse practitioner.
Yes.
I've never heard of that before.
Yes. Well, we really need one. So.
Well, I'll keep an eye,
okay.
an eye on.
If you do find one, let me know.
Speak more to what you just said, the stresses, the extra stresses that someone would be under if they, you know, if they have an unstable housing
yes.
situation. That's, I mean, it doesn't mean you're crazy.
No.
You know,
no.
you're just, you know, it sometimes it just, it's too heavy. You can't carry all that around without at least having somebody to talk to.
Yes, and we've just found that it helps people so much to have that additional piece in their health care.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have a Foothills calendar that they put out every year, and each month features a different program,
mm-hmm.
a different success story. And our success story from 2015 calendar was a lady that really, she benefited a lot from our medical side, but then also I have a couple quotes that she mentioned from the mental health side. She said, "The counselor showed me that I was not alone. My outlook on life is totally different, and for that, I'm grateful."
That's
so
awesome.
Just knowing that you're not alone. And
yeah.
That, hey, we have this because the people need this counselor, and you're not the only one.
Right.
So
that's amazing. And it's, I know when you're working in the healthcare industry or working with people in general, to be able to see anything that you're involved with has affected someone's life like that, it's got to be rewarding.
It is. Every year, those calendar stories are just amazing.
Yeah.
And I know we could have more than just one a year,
sure.
But it's just, even just to read those, it makes you stop and think that, you know, what we're doing matters.
Right.
So that's what it's all about.
That's awesome. All right. Well, we're going to pause for just a moment and take a break, and we'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Come On Home. Welcome back to Come On Home. Again, I am joined by Stacy Crace from Kentucky River Foothills, and more specifically, what's the title? Not just the clinic.
It's Foothills Health and Wellness Center.
Foothills Health and Wellness Center. Okay, over in Clay City. And we've been talking about Foothills as an organization, and more specifically what the services that the clinic offers. And one thing about it folks might not have a full understanding of is some of the beginnings. So let us know kind of how this specifically, this program kind of got started.
Okay, it's really interesting. This grant was actually written for a mobile clinic. So a lot of people might remember the Foothills Mobile.
Oh, yeah.
Because it traveled from Powell to Estill. And first, I believe it was a week in each county.
Mm-hmm.
They would drive back and forth and actually see people on the mobile. So that, you know, we gained success there and we're growing. So we were able to build a fixed site in Clay City in 2012. So that opened in January 2012. And then we just parked the mobile in Estill.
Right.
Because we didn't need to drive it anymore. So we continued to see folks in Estill County on that mobile. But we still had a split schedule because people had to go back and forth from Powell and Estill. And then, you know, just different things, we decided to go ahead and close the mobile. We had White House Clinic over here,
mm-hmm.
going back to working with other health centers.
Sure.
So we decided to close the mobile in February 2014 and just focus on our Clay City site. But we still service Estill County. We still do a lot of outreach in
mm-hmm.
Estill and trying to help patients over here that may need us. So.
Well, and that's the thing, too, even going beyond the healthcare services, there are so many other things that Foothills does.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we still have the office here in Estill County.
Yes,
so.
The outreach office.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one thing that I'm sure folks may read in the newspaper or hear out in the community is, as far as money goes, it seems like there's been quite a bit of funds coming through that are attached to Foothills. So talk about, if you don't mind, just some of the grants that have been coming through that folks may not know the whole story about.
Okay. Well, I know for us specifically, I'd mentioned a little bit before about the behavioral health.
Mm-hmm.
We had an opportunity to write for expanded services funding, and we just saw that as a need because our counselor had really grown, you know, tripled visits in the last little bit. The word's getting out, you know, and the need is there. So we decided to ask for, you know, the extra expanded services in mental health. So we did get a really nice grant there, and we're going to be able to hire a few more staff members. And we also hope to add on to the clinic. That's a new endeavor that we're looking at.
Oh,
we've
cool.
got some bids out for architects because with the new services and the new people, we need more room.
Right.
So
right.
That's another thing we're looking at. And we also, we've been awarded a couple of times lately for quality, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm.
We got around $48,000 for healthcare quality. Mm-hmm. They look at our numbers from year to year as far as, you know, the people with blood pressure, how are they keeping that under control, the diabetics, how is their hemoglobin A1C, and just as far as improvement there, we were actually considered a health center leader in a few areas. So we got a nice little chunk of funding for that.
Yeah.
And also, we are a patient-centered medical home. Mm-hmm. So I know White House also does that. And we had to actually write for and show proof of how we met all these different areas to be a patient-centered medical home. So this is another area, you know, where we've gone above and beyond. You don't have to do it, but we feel like we did it anyway. So you might as well put it down on paper and get the additional funding. So we got about $88,000 for that. And what it means for the patient is that we focus on things like same-day appointments. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really important to us. If you need to come in, we're patient-centered. We want to do whatever you need us to do and take care of things that day. We also work in teams. So you see a provider and their nurse and their care coordinator, and you know that way you're kind of more familiar with your healthcare team. So just some of those things that we've done. It's not really money falling out of the sky like it may seem like, wow, they just get money, you know, left and right. But we've worked hard for it, and you know, we've had to put in time for that. And really, again, like I said, it all means that the care is better for the patient, though, in the end.
Well, and these applications, it's not like filling out a one page.
No.
You know, I mean, these things are thick.
Yes, they are. I remember going to a training one time, and I saw Karen from Juniper Health Center over in Lee County and Wolf in that area. And she had a huge binder where she had sent in for patient center medical home. And she said, you know, if they just come see us, they would see.
Right.
But they can't visit everyone. So we have to put it on paper.
Right. It is. It's crazy. And that's one of those things. It's funny. Folks, you know, whatever your opinion of the federal government might be and what Congress can actually get away with doing. Mm-hmm. These federal agencies, the oversight that they require of any of their grantees, it's nuts. It's good.
The money's being well accounted for. There's a lot of reporting and a lot of thought goes into it. We have goals. We have things that, you know, we need to achieve to be able to justify the money.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so for all you folks who consider yourselves watchdogs of tax dollars, this is not an area where anything's kind of getting slid under the table.
No.
It's all well reported and accounted for.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And I'm sure you have to have a few of those things come across your desk time to time, huh?
Oh yes. And we also report to the board. You know, we have our Foothills board every month, and I have certain things that I've report to them so that they're informed of how, you know, we're spending the money and how the services are getting carried out too.
I bet those board meetings are interesting because there's so many different areas to try to cover.
Yeah. And that's where I learn a lot too about the agency as a whole, because I'm in my own little corner in Clay City and my one little grant, but I do enjoy the board meetings because I get to hear from different directors, and it's just amazing what Foothills does.
Mm-hmm. It really is. There's a lot of cool stuff there. Well, the main reason that you wanted to come and talk to us this morning is this week we have an exciting event coming up in Clay City, right?
It's actually on Thursday.
On
the 22nd, from 4 to 6, we're going to have a open house to celebrate our 10th anniversary. So the grant that we actually got, the original mobile clinic grant, was in 2005. And services began October 14th, 2005. So this is actually the month to celebrate our 10-year anniversary. So we've, like I mentioned before, we've come a long way.
Sure.
Now having the clinic and looking at the expansion. And so we just wanted to have a little time, an open house for maybe people that haven't gotten to take a tour of the new facility, meet our providers. We're going to have the nurse practitioners, the mental health counselor. We also have Robbie Starling that helps us with our certified drug and alcohol counseling. Mm-hmm. We have the dietitian that'll be there, the care coordinators, you know, just so you can kind of put a face with a name.
And, sure.
We've got Avery Crabtree. local mm-hmm. musician's going to come by and
cool.
have some entertainment for us, and we'll have some food.
I was about to say, will there be cookies?
We are trying to keep this food as healthy as possible.
Oh, of course.
There will be cake, though, because you have to celebrate
of course, the achievements. Yeah.
But we're also having health screenings, so you can have your blood pressure checked.
You health people.
You got to put that in there.
Can't do anything without somebody trying to take your blood pressure, right. scan your carotid artery. There's always something.
There's got to be something. So,
you know, and then you got somebody like me who just tries to sneak in and get a piece of cake and get back in the corner.
Maybe win a door prize and leave.
What is the address of the clinic?
Oh, it's 108 12th Street.
108 12th Street.
And we have some new signs. That was
That's
one,
good.
One thing that we have worked on lately is advertising and, you know, getting the word out about our clinic. So we have signs at each end of 12th Street,
mm-hmm.
and then we have a big, nice new sign in front of the clinic. So trying to make it easier for folks to find us. Sure. We also have a Facebook page, so you can follow us on Facebook, Foothills Health and Wellness Center.
Now, are you in charge of the Facebook page?
I am.
I had a feeling.
Yes, I am.
So you're not like taking selfies and posting them on there, are you?
No.
That's too bad, you know?
No.
Maybe put on a clown nose and that'd be good.
Well, if it would help get the word out, you know, I'll think about it.
Okay, so what time is the open house? I don't think you said that.
It's 4 to 6.
4 to 6.
4 to 6 p.m. And it's really neat the way it worked out. The board meeting, we alternate the Foothills board in all the four counties. Mm-hmm. So it just happens to be a Powell County month. So
well, good.
The board will be meeting at Kathy's.
Mm-hmm.
And we invited them for a little special preview to come on over and just see a little bit about what we're going to do for the community from 4 to 6.
Well, very cool. Well, yeah, make sure and head out Thursday from 4 to 6 and check out the clinic and the Health and Wellness Center.
Yeah, I'll give the phone number, too, if anybody has any questions. It's 606-663-9011.
There you go. Have we covered just about everything?
I think so.
I mean, we've gone from sea to shining sea.
I feel good about it.
Well, I'm glad. Well, again, Stacy Crace from Kentucky River Foothills, we sincerely appreciate you taking the time out of your busy, busy schedule to come in and talk to us today.
Well, I appreciate you having me.
Definitely. All righty. Well, I guess that about does it. We're going to move on to our next magical trick. Welcome back to Come On Home with Goosehead Joe. All right, we've got time for a couple tunes here, so I tell you what. I saw on Facebook in the last few days, evidently, Irvin's very own the Jenkins twins have been sneaking around and hanging out with the Avett brothers. So I got to do a little tip of the hat here. This is my favorite Avett song. Here is Laundry Room.
Don't push me out just a little longer. Stole your mother, disregard your father's words. Close the laundry door. Tiptoe across the floor. Keep your clothes on. I've got all that I can take. Teach me how to use the love that people say you make. Stop your parents' car. I just saw a shooting star. We can wish upon it. We won't share the wish we made. Hey.
last night I dreamt the whole night long. I woke with a head full of songs. I spent the whole day, I wrote them down, but it's a shame. Burn the lyrics, 'cause every chorus was your name. Symphony is stuck in your head. That long lasting symphony rolls on when I'm unaware. My mind has outgrown me, and I'm well aware. Look in your mirror at your long grown. On its way, chipping away at the doubt in my head. At the end of the day,
sleeping alone, and all I can dream of is you.
Welcome back to Come On Home with Goosehead Joe. All right, it's about time to get into our next interview. I had the great opportunity to sit down with a couple of awesome ladies from Estill County Schools, and they managed somehow to make a discussion about a very serious subject a lot more fun than that. So here you go right now. Here is Lisa Reese and Tanya Isaacs. I am now joined in the studio, and this is based on our ongoing partnership with Estill County Schools to try to let all you folks out there know exactly what's going on. I am joined by Tanya Isaacs and Lisa Reese from the central office of Estill County Schools. Welcome, ladies.
Hello. Glad to be back.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, we were talking a little bit before we got started. The topic that we're tackling today is it's a complicated one, and it's bigger than life, it seems like. We're talking about what folks in the education industry call assessment, what most lay folk would just say testing. So let's just kind of, I guess, just sort of jump right into it. Now, first of all, for those folks who may not know you all, what exactly are your roles in the district?
Well, I'm the assistant superintendent. Mm-hmm. I'm also, I have been the DAC up until this year, mm-hmm. until Miss Reese came on board, and then she inherited the job from me. I'm helping her this year train as we go. It's a complex system, and it actually takes you 1 year of going through a whole entire cycle to even kind of grasp the magnitude of it.
Sure.
So, Miss Reese, how's it been so far?
And if you haven't figured it out yet, Ms. Reese is not a huge proponent of speaking on the radio.
So. Yeah,
but we'll get her warmed up a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, Ms. Reese, you are a newbie, but you've been around long enough to really have your feet wet by now. So, is the magnitude of this whole testing world, does it just make you want to pull your hair out?
Sometimes. It is definitely a new learning curve, but one that I'm excited about being part of.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I guess we'll get right into to the meat of it. I guess the mechanics to begin with. Testing has evolved, massively evolved over the years. And so now, I mean, there are just specific students who actually get tested, correct?
Yes.
So who all is actually taking the test?
Well, if you're talking about state accountability
test. Okay,
let's start with that, because we test as a district much more than what the state, just the state end of year test, mm-hmm. Require. So our kids take what we call K-PREP test, mm-hmm. and that's the state test. And that starts at grade 3 and goes all the way up through grade 8.
Okay.
They take a series of tests in reading, math, science, social studies, writing, different portions of that test. And then we take a writing test, an on-demand writing test in grades 10 and 11. And then our high school students also take end-of-course exams on different courses.
Really?
Let me give you, I don't want to misspeak here. Let me see if I can give you an example. Algebra 2. Mm-hmm. So at the end of an Algebra 2 course, they take a state exam.
Really?
Yes. That goes into our accountability.
Wow.
Biology, mm-hmm. English 10, and U.S. History. Now, our state is talking about adding a couple more of those end-of-course exams. But those go right into our high school accountability scores. So they are judged on those end of course.
Yeah, I had no idea about that. I mean, that's very similar to final exams in college.
Exactly.
So you pretty much are tested on the entirety of the topic that you just took the class on.
Exactly. And wow. Then another portion of that would be our ACT test that mm-hmm. juniors take every year.
Right.
And so that's our college entrance exam, and mm-hmm. that is required by our state as well and goes wow. into our accountability number. So our high school pretty much tests year-round
mm-hmm.
because if you think about a kid, you know, that might be in the first trimester and finishing up Algebra 2, then as soon as they finish that up, they're going to take an exam. So we test pretty much all year at the high school.
Wow.
Our K-prep exams usually come at the end of the year, mm-hmm. usually in May, within the last 14 instructional days of the school year.
So it really is. I mean, it's comprehensive.
It is very comprehensive. And your high school right now looks, like you said, similar to college, mm-hmm. what you do in college, because we have to have our students college and career ready.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and It kind of does away with that, I guess it's an old stigma of, you know, being able to, you know, be teacher's pet kind of deal and then, you know, sort of skate through.
No skating through. No. No. Afraid not. Very high expectations.
Well, definitely. And that's wonderful. Mm-hmm.
But it starts in kindergarten. Believe it or not, we have CCR standards in kindergarten that go all the way through. So we start at the kindergarten level. So mm-hmm. kindergarten readiness scores are very important to us at this point in time because we've got to get a hold of those students that are coming not ready for kindergarten.
Right.
Because then that's where your gap, you know, we've talked about gap mm-hmm. the last time we were here. So mm-hmm. that's where your gap starts. So then if we don't get a hold of those students there, then it just widens by the time we get to, you know, let's say sixth grade,
mm-hmm.
you know. We wow. have a huge issue, so.
Well, that and this is just part of the total testing
yes.
that's going on, and yes. I know one that I hear about quite a bit is the MAP testing.
Yes.
And that's not on the state level. That's just within the district, right?
Yes, we are required by the state
mm-hmm.
to have a system in which we make sure that students are making appropriate growth.
Right.
And the state calls that a universal screener. Mm-hmm. So we screen our kids 3 times a year to make sure they're making growth. So that we know prior to that state testing at the end of the year
yeah.
whether they're where they should be.
Right.
And I'll let Miss Reese talk about that. She's an expert on MAP.
You are.
So take it away, Miss Reese. You know all about MAP testing.
She's thinking about it. Ms. Reese, if for a lot of you folks out there who know Lisa Reese, she for quite a while was the principal at South Irvin PK, and so this has been quite the shift for her as she's moved into a kind of a different realm of education. I know she has always been passionate about especially those little kids, and I had a daughter come through South Irvin, and it was a wonderful experience, and I know that she's taking everything that she did on that the school level, and she's trying to shift her thinking a little bit and apply that on a district-wide level. So as far as MAP testing, do you want to speak to that just a little bit?
Sure. In our district, our students do take MAP testing, MAP standing for Measure of Academic Progress.
Mm-hmm.
Our students, grades K through 8, take the MAP test, as Ms. Isaac said, 3 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
They focus on reading and math.
And it really, it's a comparison from one test to the next for each individual student.
Yes, it is.
So that way, you know, and it's really, it's a cool thing because the kids get to see, you know, in how have they done, how have they grown, like you said, from, you know, one part of the year to the next.
Yes. The vendor that actually makes the MAP test, excuse me, they've done a lot of studies between the relationship between MAP and K-prep,
mm-hmm.
okay, or state testing. And so now they've got it down of looking at those students who took the MAP and then took the K-prep. Now we have a really good picture of, if you make this RIT score in MAP, how is that going to translate over to the state testing? So it's really been very helpful to us to be able to say, well, these kids, if they took the K-prep today, would score at this level.
Right.
So those two partnerships with our state's been very helpful to us across the state, I would say.
Well, that's cool.
With MAP, yes.
Yeah. Well, and then back to the state mandated assessment. You know, that's, I guess, most classically to a lot of us who grew up kind of in a certain age range, you know, it was achievement tests.
Yes.
That was the
generic CTBS.
Term. Oh, yes. I remember that.
Yeah. Thank you, Ms. Isaacs, for telling our age.
But, and it always was understood as, you know, this shows how well you understand kind of holistically across the board where you're supposed to be. What, you know, do you know everything you're supposed to know at that age level? But, you know, everything has kind of changed a little bit. And I mean, I guess since specifically 1990, everything has just been a continuous snowball of evolution and increased complexity. You know, and from the state's perspective, this does, the way when the students are taking the tests and you're seeing how the achievement's going, that does lend itself to accountability for the district.
Right.
So how do you, this, I guess this is kind of an administrative question. How do you balance making sure that, you know, teachers are accountable and all the way up to the superintendent, balance that with making sure that the students are achieving what they need to be achieving?
Well, the bottom line is, it's really more than just a test score. And sometimes as educators, I think we get really caught up on that number.
Sure.
The bottom line is, will our students be ready to go to college when they graduate high school? That is just the bottom. For every one of us, the accountability, that it's plain and simple. We have to perform in our kids. And so those are the expectations that we have. At the present moment, we have to be college and career ready.
Okay. All righty. Well, with that said, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back right after this. You're listening to Come On Home. Yeah. This is Come On Home. And again, I am joined in the studio by Lisa Reese and Tanya Isaacs from Estill County Schools. And we're talking about the wild and woolly world of testing. It's one of those things, I guess it's a necessary evil, especially when you're talking about the students, because nobody likes to take tests, but it's it really is a useful and practical process for them to go through. Now, back to the state mandated, the K-prep, that's the big one that, you know, everything gets published in the Herald Leader and all that. So as far as our district goes, Lisa, would you just like to give us just a rough overview of kind of how we fared?
Sure. Our district overall accountability performance went from a 62.3 in 2014 to a 64.1 in 2015. You know, obviously, we are seeing some growth. Our teachers, staff, principals, students are working hard. We have many reasons to celebrate, but at the same time, we have areas of growth. With that being said, our district has a plan in place. We are a part of the Novice Reduction Pilot System.
Okay, you're going to have to explain that.
Okay. that is a... That is a pilot system with the Kentucky Department of Education where we have folks come in and assist us with proven strategies that have worked in other districts to reduce our novice numbers, that being our students who are scoring novice on the test. So we have that in place, and we'll be participating in that this year, and we expect to see growth from these strategies that will be offered.
Our superintendent, his charge to us is we have to reduce our novice. And so if you think about that, you know, it's a moral imperative that we do that. Because if we don't do it now, then our students are going to get out of high school, and then what?
Right.
So it is our, I guess, narrow focus right now to make sure that we're not just moving some kids, but we move all kids. And those are the kids that are scoring down at the bottom end,
right,
which is our novice kids. We don't want any kid being novice. And so that's our narrow focus right now. And the accountability is there. I mean, it's there on the superintendent. The board expects him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
He expects his central office district lead team. I mean, we have that vision and we know what it is. It's been communicated. We all believe in it. And we're working on it. So filter down to the principals and then to the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our teachers are hardworking people.
Oh, yeah.
And not only are, you know, we judged by our scores, our test scores, but there also is a teacher evaluation system in place mm-hmm. now in which they are judged as well. So is the principal, so is the superintendent. So they all fall into that evaluation system, which is going to be become a part of this accountability system, believe it or not. That's going into it.
Wow.
As well. So when we talk about complex, we talk about complex. There's lots of moving parts to this thing. But as far as the novice reduction, you know, we just really want to put a shout out to our teachers because they are in the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that come to work every day and deal with all the issues that they deal with. You know, they no longer are just a teacher. They have to be lots of things to a student,
sure.
Nurse, mom, dad, you know, whatever. And so they have a big role,
mm-hmm.
and we appreciate every one of them.
Well, definitely. And I guess going back, you know, novice reduction, I guess it goes back to that the rising tide lifts all boats kind
yes.
of idea. You know, if you can get the baseline to go up, then everybody's better off.
That's exactly right. And that's what we've told our principals. Quit looking at this score out here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just raise everybody up, and then your score's going to rise up.
Exactly.
You know, it's going to go up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of our message.
Well, that is. I mean, that's really neat. And, I mean, just looking at pure math, mm-hmm. you know, everything's based on averages.
Mm-hmm.
You can only, you know, you got the folks that are scoring way at the tippy top. Well, they can only go so high. Mm-hmm. So, you know, bring the bottom side of the average up and everything goes up. So.
Yes.
Now, as far as that goes, and you touched on it there, again, it's all going back to student achievement. It's all going back to preparing the students for when they leave high school. They have a plan. They know where they're going, how to do it. I really appreciate this the novice reduction idea. Now, as far as you know, you've got folks that are coming in bringing best practices, case studies, and that kind of thing from the state, and I'm sure you know that's going to hit on all levels and talking to everybody. One thing, and I mentioned this when we were on the break, is it would be fantastic if there were ways to actually reach out into some of the homes of some of these kids that aren't getting the support that they need. That would really help a lot in the situation that they may be in. But the other side of that is, from a district perspective, you all are just trying to do everything you can while they're in the building.
That's right. That's right. What we can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some things that we cannot control.
Sure.
That being home life of some of our students. So
right.
We have to do, when they are with us during those instructional hours, what are we doing during that time to make the biggest impact? And that's what we're focusing on. We can't focus outside that circle of influence, things that we cannot control or have influence over. We have to, you know, focus on what we can do.
And you made a comment, I don't know if this was attributed directly to Mr. Saylor or not, but it was no excuses.
Exactly. No excuses. That's what we say.
Just figure it out.
Every child, you know, has a destiny to do something great.
Right.
Is what he says. So we're carrying on that vision and we believe it.
That's wonderful. And that's, you know, and keeping that attitude, that carries through. You know, the students pick up on that, you know, from you know, the bottom to the top. And when everybody is positive and really trying, then that's got to seep through, even by osmosis.
Yes, and we don't want to forget now our top kids. We have a
sure.
lot of high-performing students as well. You know, and sometimes it's easier to raise that lower end up than raise that higher end.
Right.
Like you say. So we don't want to forget those students either. You
mm-hmm.
know, we have to concentrate on all levels of kids and move them in the direction they need to go.
Well, and okay, both you all are educators and you've been around for quite a while.
Thanks.
You know, a couple years.
Yeah.
I had to back up there a little bit. I've known you to be around for a while. So looking at the tools that there are now. Now, I know some of them are imposed by the powers that be sometimes. You know, and I know that the approach they take is, well, you know, you're doing this because it's the best thing for you, whether you like it or not. Sometimes it is and sometimes it's not. But do you feel like some of these tools that are gauging student achievement, you know, you're the student, and it's on the student themselves. It's not, you know, looking at averages or whatever. It's looking at the growth that each particular individual has. Do you feel like that has really helped being able to pinpoint the best way to educate a kid?
Yeah, well, to a certain degree, students have to take ownership in their own learning.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you think way back when we were in fourth or fifth grade, you took that CTBS test and you really didn't know the results. I didn't. I never knew what I did at the end of the year. I really didn't.
Sure.
It's not like that now. We talk to kids all along the way. We talk to them about their MAP test, and we set goals with them, and we tell them what, if they do just this, they might get a little better on something. Mm-hmm. So, you know, student accountability is there as well. So, you know, that is so much different than it was a long time ago. And that goes all the way throughout high school. You know, we're already talking to them in the middle school, you know. What do you like to do? What are your interests? So
right.
We kind of get them on a career path, mm-hmm. so that we can get them into certain classes at the high school, so that we can encourage them to do this, that, or the other. So, and then go on to college or into a career.
That's really neat, though, because, I mean, I read all the magazines about, you know, the tech industry and that kind of stuff, and it's all about big data. And pretty much that's what you all are doing. You're just, you're able to collect more data individually about students.
Right. And we do. We have, you would not believe the data we have.
I'd say.
Sometimes it gets very overwhelming. That's why you have to take a narrow focus and you have to say, I'm going to focus here.
Right.
Because it can be very overwhelming.
So, I've been trying to think about, you know, what's the average person walking down the street? What are some of the questions that they might have for you all? And how do you keep from teaching to the test?
Well, we have a set of standards.
Right.
From you know, we call them Kentucky Core Academic Standards.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to teach those standards.
Right.
That's just bottom line, every bit of it, every grade level. That is what our teachers have to teach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our test is based on those standards.
Sure.
So we're not really, well, I guess we're teaching to a degree to the test, but our standards say we have to teach this.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we teach. Our test then will test those standards.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and they test them in different levels and in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So our teachers have to make sure that they're teaching at the same level,
right?
That, you know, they're going to see those types of questions.
So pretty much, I mean, in looking at, I know it's difficult, and a lot of folks, especially if you're not in a certain world, mm-hmm. You make certain assumptions, and you know, if you see it on TV or you see a meme on the internet, it must be true. But backing away from, you know, blaming or, well, hey, this used to be taught and it's not anymore. But when you've got these standards that are coming down, not just from the state, but also federal.
That's right.
You know, a teacher, you know, you got kind of got your hands shackled a little bit.
You're exactly right. They have to follow what those standards say. And, of course, we have curriculum maps that lay out when they're going to teach certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have to follow that from a district level as well.
Right.
So, yes, you know, teachers have to teach what the state says it requires them to teach.
Right.
Yeah.
And pretty much, you know, and you'll see this, I've actually already seen this with some of my daughter's teachers, is some of the things that they're passionate about and they really want to make sure that their students learn, but it doesn't happen to be on, you know, in the standards. They have to add that on and try to fit it in wherever there's a free moment.
That's right. Those standards have to come first.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, it's so complex and it's so complicated, but it seems like there is a rhyme or reason.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, we have to know where our kids are at.
Yeah.
At all times. And it's just, I mean, that's just good practice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if I'm a teacher and I do an assessment on Friday and I find out that 75% of my kids didn't do so well in this assessment, guess what? That's not the student's fault, is it?
Right.
It's my fault as a teacher. Right. So then I have to change what I'm doing. Reteach, do something, have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we ask of our teachers, just to assess all the time frequently so they know where kids are.
Right. It's got to be aggravating.
It's no longer stand and deliver.
Yeah.
And if you get it, you get it. And if you don't, you don't. They have to get it.
Right. And if they didn't, then figure out why.
And then make a plan for it. Yes. Yes.
I tell you, that's, it just seems, it's, man, I can't wrap my mind around it.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. And I mean, some of my friends who are teachers and, you know, there will be certain points in the year that, you know, they're wringing their hands or they're wanting to bang their head against the wall just because, you know, there are certain things that have to be done. And it's so taxing and so difficult.
Yeah, I agree.
But it must be done.
It must be done. And we love our kids, too.
Yeah.
So we do it.
And that's the point at the end of the day.
We love the profession or mm-hmm. we wouldn't be here. I mean, you can't do this profession if you don't love what you do.
Good old pedagogy.
That's right. I love it.
I keep trying to come up with something just real tricky to ask Lisa, but she's she's behaving herself, so I won't bother her. But you know, I'm trying to think kind of outside the box and think of some of those other things that folks might want to know. But you all have done a really good job at kind of hitting the high points of testing.
And I want to add something, too.
Okay, please.
We want our results communicated to parents.
Yes.
So parents should be seeing individual progress from K-PREP. Mm-hmm. Coming home soon. I mean, we're doing parent-teacher conferences and things like that, so those could be handed out there. Also, MAP individual reports should be coming home. If you haven't seen them, you know, you need to be looking for those. And ask questions. You know, sometimes those reports can be so confusing, even to us. So go to the principal, go to the counselor, go to the teacher and say, what does this actually mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is my child where they need to be based on this test? And remember, it's just one test.
Right.
It's not a be-all, end-all. It's just one source of data that we use. But and also, I would encourage anyone out there that wants to know about how our district did
mm-hmm.
on our state testing. You can go to the Kentucky Department of Education. There's a link right on the front page that says school report cards, school and district report cards.
Mm-hmm.
You can pull any school report card on any of our schools and any district report card that you want to see. There's lots of information there for your reading.
More than you'd ever want to read.
More than you would ever want to read. But in the event you do that mm-hmm. and you want to ask a question about that, be sure you call our district office because we're there to help the public understand.
Sure.
And we want to be transparent about our scores.
That's a big thing, and I've heard that time and time again from Mr. Saylor. It's all about transparency.
That's right.
And make sure there's no secrets.
Nope.
And this isn't secret. You know, it's all about the welfare of the kids and seeing them grow. So I would add with the Department of Ed website, with all those school report cards, you can look at the difference year to year and how everything has changed and things like that. There's actually, which I'm a data nerd, there's really good, some really good demographic data and some other stuff in there too that you really won't find elsewhere.
Sure.
So I would encourage you to make sure and go check that out. And of course, you know, the Herald Leader, as soon as they're fresh, the Herald Leader has to push them all out and they wave flags and shoot fireworks and everything else. But I mean, there's really, you know, we've come at our local school district from several different angles at this point. And I hope for those of you who are regular listeners, you see that there are some really cool things going on. And we've got a lot of good people working in the district that are all dedicated to seeing our kids flourish. And so for both of you ladies, I'd like to just extend a hand of gratitude. And I know you all work hard and you wear multiple hats and it's always tough. But thank you for staying in there and doing everything you can to move us forward.
Yes. And at the end of the day, it's all about our kids. That's what we want.
That's right. That's right. I guess if someone does have specific questions about testing, they could try to test Ms. Reese.
That's right. They could call her at the district office. She would be more than happy to talk to them about testing.
723-2181. Just ask for Lisa Reese. She'll take care of you. And if she puts you on hold, she may be calling Ms. Isaacs. And
That would be correct.
She'll get a handle on it. Time next year, she'll be an expert.
I'd imagine. And I can only imagine some of the reporting documents that go to the state. They've got to be a page or two.
Yeah, page or two. Yeah.
Hopefully they're at least taking them as digital now, and you don't have to print them.
We're pretty much digital.
That's good.
Yes.
That's encouraging. Yes. I wouldn't expect that, actually.
Yes, we're pretty much digital, yes.
Well, Tanya Isaacs, Lisa Reese, thank you. I know how busy you are, and I really appreciate you taking the time to come in and talk to us today.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
All righty. Well, we're going to take a break and be back. You're listening to Come On Home.
Lord, I've spent a lifetime trying to write this song about love. Words don't seem to be coming, so I may need a little help from above. 'Cause all I can say is all I can say. I done said all that I can. And Lord, you know this song I've been writing just can't be done by one man. So Lord, won't you join me and help me with a line or two? Well, if you be my partner, well, I'll give a half of the credit to you. 'Cause you got the power and you got the wisdom, but I got the rock and roll band. And if I could, Lord, I'd write the music and you could do the one-night stand. I know that you could help, Lord, 'cause I've heard about the things that you've done. You parted the waters when old man Moses was on the run. Well, here's a few tunes that we've been doing in between 6 and 5. Now, if one's a hit, Lord, we could all quit and go fishing for the rest of our lives.
It's been a fun day. I tell you what, it has been, but I've gone loony. I'm sitting here talking with the microphone turned down. I'm sure if Ethan's listening right now, he's going to make a lot of fun of me. Turned down the wrong switch. I shouldn't be left in here by myself. But what I was saying, come back from commercial with a little gear, heart, and God. That's the way to do it. All right. I'll get used to this new format sooner or later. Okay, it's time for a few holidays and observances for you. Let's get right into it. Today, Wednesday, October 21st, you might have heard Angela talking a little bit about this earlier. Today is Back to the Future Day. In Back to the Future Part 2, you know, the old movie from the 80s, they went into the future. And they came to today, October 21st, 2015. They actually landed at 4:29 p.m. So here in just under a couple hours, you might want to just stop and look around for a flying car. But, you know, we still don't have the hoverboards, but I'm kind of glad the fashion didn't go in that direction. A couple other things today. It is Support Your Local Chamber of Commerce Day. So make sure and look for any of those indicators that business that you love is a member of the chamber and thank them for it because your chambers are working hard to try to advance business in all of our communities. Let's see, and it's also today, it is Celebration of the Mind Day. So for, you know, just take a second and think about how amazing the human mind can be. Through history, let's see, on this day back in 1797, the USS Constitution was launched. And of course, it was built and launched to fight Barbary pirates over in the Mediterranean. And of course, the Constitution was called Old Ironsides. And it still lives up in Boston Harbor and I believe can still sail. So that's kind of crazy. And then this day back in 1805, the Battle of Trafalgar British Admiral Lord Nelson won that battle and ensured that Napoleon couldn't invade Britain. Of course, he also lost his life in that battle and has been immortalized, basically, in statues and street names and everything all throughout England. A few birthdays today. One of my favorites, Judge Judy, is 73 today. And then Princess Leia herself, Carrie Fisher, is 59. And Kim Kardashian is 35 today. Tomorrow, October 22nd, it is National Nut Day. Now, I don't know if that's... I don't know which kind of nut, if it's the, you know, the nutty people or the kind that you can eat. But anyway, it's a day to celebrate. And it's also Smart is Cool Day. So for all you people that consider yourselves nerds or geeks, you know, you can at least act like you're cool tomorrow. We are cool. Come on now. A few historic dates. Let's see. On October 22nd, back in 1797, the first parachutist ever took the first, I guess, jump. It was André-Jacques Garnerin. He jumped from a hydrogen balloon 3,200 feet above Paris and survived. And actually, a few years later, his wife became the first female parachutist. They really got into it. Let's see. Moving on, 1934. Notorious gangster Pretty Boy Floyd was gunned down by the FBI. And then on October 22nd, 1962, President Kennedy officially announced the blockade of Cuba. Of course, that being the what we called later the Cuban Missile Crisis. A few birthdays tomorrow. Again, with Back to the Future, Christopher Lloyd turns 77. Actor Jeff Goldblum turns 63, and from Modern Family, Jesse Tyler Ferguson turns 40. On to Friday, October 23rd, it's iPod Day, celebrating the birthday of the iPod. It's National Mole Day. Again, I don't know if that's the skin imperfection or the animal, but you can celebrate both if you like. And it's a TV talk show host day, and that always falls on Johnny Carson's birthday. So that's kind of cool there. Throughout history, let's see, number one on the charts back in 1976 was Chicago's first number one, If You Leave Me Now. And then I remember this well, October 23rd, 1993, Joe Carter hit a home run to win the World Series for the Toronto Blue Jays. That was huge. It was crazy. And much respect to Joe Carter. It's a cool day for an Irvine native. On October 23rd, back in 1936, famed college and pro basketball coach and Irvine native Lee Rose was born. So happy birthday to Coach Rose, and look him up. He accomplished so many things. He's a really, really nice guy, too. A few other birthdays on Friday. Pele, the soccer player, probably the only soccer player anybody knew for a long time, turns 75. Actor Ryan Reynolds turns 39. Weird Al Yankovic turns 56. And Dwight Yoakam turns 59. On Saturday, October 24th, this is my favorite. I love it. You've got all these special days for certain food items. Saturday is just food day. You can't beat it. Come on, just celebrate food. Through history, let's see, back in 1901, the first ever barrel ride over Niagara Falls happened. Oh, yeah, good times. In 1945, the United Nations was born following World War II. In 1969, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid opened in theaters. And in 2003, the Concorde made its final flight. Birthdays on Saturday, rapper Drake turns 29, and R&B singer Monica turns 35. Had to put her in there because a nice little ongoing joke my brother-in-law and I have. Talk about that jam that was really awesome from back in the day. It was Monica and Brandy, The Boy Is Mine. You just can't get that. You can't get better than that jam. And then another little... tip of the hat here, B.D. Wong turns 55. Now, if that name sounds familiar but you can't place it, it's because he's on Law & Order. And every time Law & Order is going off and the credits come up, I always just have to say out loud, B.D. Wong, because that's just a fantastic name. Excuse me. Moving on to Sunday. October 25th, it is World Pasta Day, so a great day to have some lasagna or ziti or spaghetti or whatever your favorite is. It's Chucky the Notorious Killer Doll Day. It's a little bit specific, but anyhow, Chucky gets his own day, and it's also Mother-in-Law Day. I'll leave that one alone. I won't take a dig at my mother-in-law, but Sunday is a day, if you have a mother-in-law, to I don't know. I'm not going to make any suggestions. through history, let's see. Back in 1764, John Adams married Abigail Smith. Don't normally hear her by that name. She was, of course, Abigail Adams. In 1944, the first kamikaze attack of World War II happened. And then in 1980, Australian rock band AC/DC earned their first top 40 hit with You Shook Me All Night Long. Of course, everybody's heard that one. Birthdays on Sunday. Katy Perry turns 31. And this is a big one. Nancy Cartwright turns 58. If you don't know that name, you'll know her voice. She is the voice of Bart Simpson. So, and has been for a long time. So happy birthday to them. On Monday, it is Mule Day, celebrating the first shipment of mules. It was a gift from Spain to the United States way back in the day. And it's also Howl at the Moon Night. So take that and do with what you will with it. Let's see. Through history, 1825, October 26th, the Erie Canal opened. In 1881, the shootout at the OK Corral, of course, in Tombstone, Arizona. And then in 1985, Whitney Houston earned her first number one hit with Saving All My Love for You. And in 1986, Boston Red Sox fans will never forget, Bill Buckner let the ground ball roll through his legs at first base. Yeah. I still remember it. It was crazy. Birthdays on Monday. Family Guy voice actor Seth MacFarlane turns 42. Country superstar Keith Urban turns 48. Presidential candidate Hillary Clinton turns 68. And this guy must be a vampire. He's been around forever. Pat Sajak is 69 and still does not look anywhere near that old. rounding it out on Tuesday, October 27th, it is Cranky Coworkers Day. Just about everybody's got at least one. And a couple historic dates. 10/27/1904, the New York City subway opened. And in 2004, the curse of the Bambino was broken. The Red Sox won their first World Series since 1918. A couple birthdays on Tuesday. Lee Greenwood, of course, best known for God Bless the USA, turns 73. And John Cleese of Monty Python fame, if you can't place his face, he's always the British guy with the really high voice. Yeah, anyway, he turns 76. So there you have it, your holidays and observances, historic dates, and celebrity birthdays for this week of October 21st through the 27th. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. You're listening to Come On Home. This is Come On Home with Goosehead Joe. I think I've got all my my toggles and switches in the right place now. So it has just about come to the end of this week's show. I have to give another big thank you to Stacy Crace from Kentucky River Foothills. And I would remind you, if you missed maybe part of that first hour, that coming up tomorrow, Thursday, October 22nd, from 4 to 6 p.m., they're celebrating their 10th anniversary at the Foothills Health and Wellness Center over in Clay City, having an open house. They're going to do, they got live music, door prizes, got some refreshments, some information, free health screenings. Should be nice. So make sure if you're over around Clay City tomorrow afternoon from 4 to 6, stop in. And when you see Miss Stacy Crace, make sure and tell her that Goosehead Joe sent you. And then also, don't forget, of course, we can't forget Woolly Worm. You got to go chase down Woolly the Worm. Race your Woolly Worms and eat some good food and buy a bunch of stuff and listen to some great music. Can't forget Woolly Worm Festival, and also Forest of the Undead. Of course, we've been hitting the spot quite a bit during the show today, but again, Forest of the Undead happening out at the Lily Mountain Nature Preserve. It's at 1675 Little Rock Road. It's right on the Madison-Estill County line, just on the Estill County side of it. It's going to be Friday and Saturday night, October 23rd and 24th, from 6 to 11 p.m. There will be signs. It's only $5. So all that is going to help help Friends of Lily Mountain try to come up with some new ideas and try to build up the infrastructure a little bit and just make that a better better place to visit and for all of us to enjoy. So there will be signs up. The easiest way, if you know anything about Estill County, when you're on 52 heading toward Richmond, turn left onto Regis Road, follow it to the end, make a right, and then you'll turn left onto Little Rock Road as you're heading toward the Madison County line. So you get into Madison County, you've gone too far. But there will be signs, and it'll be well marked, and it's a great event and for a good cause. So make sure to come out and check that out. It's going to be a lot of fun. Goosehead here, I'll be out there. I'm not sure what they're going to have me doing yet, but hopefully, if you've seen the video on Facebook, hopefully it won't have anything to do with me putting nasty chocolate syrup in my mouth and then having to spew it all over the place. but definitely check that out. Go to Facebook, type in Forest of the Undead for more information. But should be a lot of fun. And as for me, I'm out of here. Again, a big thanks to Stacy Crace, Tanya Isaacs, Lisa Reese for being on the show today. And I got to move on to my next magical trick. I hope hope the rest of the week treats you well. Get outside and enjoy this Indian summer. And I guess as for me, I'm out of here. So in the week to come, be kind to yourself and be kind to one another. Have a great one, everybody.
How could life be so cold? Where did all the water go that my boat was floating on yesterday? Has my ship run aground, or have I finally found that the ocean I was on was just a bay? And as I stand here on the shore, I can hear the ocean roar. The tide's gone out, I'm stranded on my own. Not a love, not a friend, but on God I can depend to show me the light and safely lead me home. And I'll sing those old songs again, and I'll thank the Lord for every place I've been. And I'll start my life anew some sweet day, singing praise the Lord for showing me the way. Singing praise the Lord for showing me the way.
Thank you. Them old regular Baptist roots come out every now and then.